Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Catherine, who is here to speak with us about Reflective Listening Buddies. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you, Jen. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So I was just thinking today that I'm pretty sure, aside from Open Air, which is by far our longest running, far-flung Sangha opportunity, I think Reflective Listening Buddies comes in a close second. I think it's the longest-standing, far-flung program. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's been several years, for sure.
Yeah, much, much longer than I ever realized. And so it's really quite a powerful program. I mean, we hear that actually fairly often on Open Air. Someone will talk about it. And so we like to regularly feature someone talking about the program and about their experience with the program when we have open registration, which we do currently. I think the deadline is later this month or early next month?
October 1st.
October 1st.
Uh-huh.
Perfect. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about the program, and maybe then we can talk about your experience of it.
Sure. Well, in the program, two participants are paired up as buddies, and they have a weekly call of 30 minutes. And in the first 15 minutes, one of the buddies speaks, talks about what's going on or whatever they want to talk about, and the other buddy reflects what they say. Trying as much as possible to use the speaker's words and just reflects that. And then after 15 minutes, the buddies switch roles, and the buddy who spoke then for the first 15 minutes then reflects for the second 15 minutes.
So each person,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, I think exactly what you were saying.
Yeah.
Each person gets both roles.
Right, right. So you get a chance to speak and then a chance to practice reflecting.
Uh-huh. And so for folks who have never done reflective listening before, there's an opportunity to get some training with that.
Yes. They're brand new participants, and experienced participants also are invited to join. There are two training calls at the beginning of each session, or actually a few days before the session starts. There's some training in exactly what reflective listening is, and there are guidelines to support people in doing the reflective listening.
That's great. And I've often heard people talk about that in addition to how powerful the weekly calls with their buddy are, that there are also the support calls where people call in who are participating in the program if they choose to and get to talk about their experience of the program, and that those are quite powerful as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a support call. There are three per quarter, and everyone is invited to attend all three. And when they sign up for Reflective Listening Buddies, they do make a commitment to attend at least one, but are certainly welcome to attend all three. And it's a call-in support call. Participants talk about what they're seeing in their practice as it relates to Reflective Listening Buddies. And it can be very powerful. It's great support to hear what other Sangha members are experiencing. And I always learn something every time I get on a support call. I have another insight, or I learn something more, or a new practice or a new way to use Reflective Listening Buddies. So, they're fun and they're helpful. They are facilitated calls. So.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And so from what you're describing, it's really appropriate for anyone to participate in the program. Are there prerequisites for folks?
I'm not, you know what, I'm not sure. I think they do ask for participation in something, maybe an email class, or just to kind of know a little bit about how we talk about awareness practice.
Yeah, that's a helpful background to have. But the point that I was thinking is that there really is, so, you know, with a lot of things, often folks will have a voice around signing up for something like this of, well, I don't know how to do that. I've never done that before. And so, I can't do that. But the way the program is structured, what you're laying out, really gives people the support that they need. So no need to have prior experience with it to even know in particular what reflective listening is, not have had any experience with it, but that you're very welcome to sign up and to get trained to do it. It's kind of on-the-job training, as it were.
Absolutely, yeah. During the training calls, there is a demonstration of reflective listening. So, and then people will have a chance to hear that and then to ask questions. And the guidelines make it very clear that, nobody has to be perfect at this. This is awareness practice. the guidelines are there to be supportive and to support awareness practice, but there's nothing about you have to be good at this or, I've been doing this for years. I've been participating since the pilot program. And right before a call and during a call, the voices still come in. They still tell me I'm doing a terrible job. And I just practice ignoring that and just coming back to the moment and reflecting as best I can. That's what you do.
Yeah, that's so perfect, Catherine, really, isn't it? Because, so we're learning a new skill. So we're practicing this new skill of reflective listening.
Mm-hmm.
But as with everything in practice, and if one chooses, with everything in one's life, the ultimate thing we're practicing is getting out of the conversation. And so, doing something like reflective listening is going to bring up all those voices, and there, perfect. That just gives us an opportunity to get out of that conversation, to practice not believing the voices. And I love that description of you've been doing it for years, and the voices still try. Well, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't listen. Just get out of that conversation.
I'm still trying to talk me out of signing up, out of participating, I wish I wasn't having this call right now. I'm so busy, and during and after the call, I'm so glad I had the call. They're so helpful. So,
yes, that's another great point. That place that people often talk about of, that resistance that comes up. Because, what's happening is the call is interrupting the conditioned process, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we're at all identified with that conditioned process at the time, we're trying to get stuff done or I don't feel like it or whatever version of some, process of suffering that's happening, then the call is going to interrupt that. So conditioning is going to hate that. Oh, I can't believe this call. I shouldn't have signed up for this. But of course, the heart loves it. And so you just hear people saying that over and over and over again. I was at work and I realized, it's my timer went off. It's the time to step out and do the call. And then they just, after the call, just completely lit up.
Grateful
and glad that there was that call. Yeah.
Yeah, a participant recently referred to reflective listening buddies as talking meditation. And that's really what it feels like. It feels like meditation because, and I have the same feeling after a call as after I've meditated. So I'm feeling much more present, and so I'm showing up for 30 minutes because I want to be present to the other person so I can reflect.
Yeah.
And I want to be present to what I'm seeing and what's arising from me because I want to do awareness practice. So for 30 minutes, it's a way of showing up that I think I don't show up in any other practice, actually, because even for meditation, my mind can wander, which is...
Mm-hmm.
kind of what happens, and that's nothing wrong, and just come back to the breath. And with reflective listening buddies, well, someone else is kind of depending on you being present.
Wow.
Yeah, and then and when you're speaking, someone else is reflecting you, so that can bring you back too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
brilliant. Yeah, which is a huge piece of why reflecting is such a big deal in our practice, and why we have an entire program dedicated to people having the opportunity to practice it. Because, you know, we're talking along, and without someone reflecting us, we often don't hear ourselves. But in reflective listening buddies, in recording and listening, there, that's an opportunity to actually be present to ourselves.
Really, truly. And often someone will reflect, and when I hear what I've just said, something drops in about that. And kind of part of it, too, is pausing every now and then so the person can reflect. So it's an awareness of what I'm saying, an awareness that the other person needs to reflect. So it's a real, real partnership there. And you're, practicing awareness with that.
Yeah. Well, and Catherine, we're going to have to continue the conversation, because I just think that piece that you just said is fascinating, the talking meditation, because we often talk about that, you know, standing up and being in conversation with someone else, that's the hardest place to be present. So in our lives, that's a really big window to go unconscious is when we're talking to people. So to have a practice where you learn a skill that actually brings you present when you're communicating with someone else is, you know, what a gift. And that's another thing people talk about, is finding themselves using reflective listening all over their lives, not just with their reflective listening buddy, but with their loved ones and their coworkers and
families, and any kind of situation where we're uncomfortable or maybe has been problematic. Here's a way to be in that situation and be present.
Boy, that's amazing. That's beautiful. Well, thank you. Yeah. Speaking of communication, thank you for being with us this evening to communicate about reflective listening buddies.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Catherine. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Catherine. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Really well. And yourself?
Excellent. Excellent. And I love that conversation.
I did too. Talking meditation.
Yeah, I love that.
How brilliant is that?
That was brilliant.
I never would have thought about that. I mean, what they were saying, of course, is a big part of our practice. You know, first of all, we meditate facing a blank wall, and then we stand up and go completely unconscious as we try to do walking meditation, and then we work on that, and then we get into working meditation. Did I just say walking and then working? Yes. They sound so much alike. They echo. Again, we go completely, and then we try to be in a conversation with somebody, and it's gone. So practicing talking meditation. Wow. I just love it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I was just, what dropped in as you were talking is that with the reflective listening, that version of talking meditation, I don't need to think up what to say. I don't need to be preparing to how to respond. I don't need to try to look good. All of that is taken away.
Yeah, we just become a mirror.
Yes.
Right. That's all we have to do. You're a big fan of that program, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I know you've done that for years, and you're very good at it, by the way. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Serves us well.
Yes, and it's a great opportunity to see how, you know, conditioning comes in. And I think I'm present and reflecting, and then nothing there, or I'm thinking about yesterday or tomorrow. And so as you talk about, it's a chance to see where I am. So meditation is not trying to get somewhere. You know, sitting meditation gives me an opportunity to see where I am, not try to get somewhere else.
Yes. Yes. That is so important, Michael. When Jen and Catherine were talking about, you don't have to be an expert. You know, you get trained in this. It's practice. And that's so difficult for us to get. That this is just all we're doing ever is practicing awareness. So as you say, somebody, you know, I'm listening along and then I get totally distracted and the person stops talking. I have no idea what they just said. It's okay. I can just say, oh, went on a little hiatus there. Could you tell me again what that was? It's just practicing awareness. And then I get to see that. I get to see. So with people who are close to me, with coworkers or family or friends, that's where I start getting a sense of, you know, I think I'm right there present with them, but then there seem to be these gaps where I actually don't know what just happened. And that is really important for us to see in awareness practice. It's not an opportunity to feel bad. It's not an opportunity to let the voices of self-hate come in. It's an opportunity to see, wow, I was bamboozled about that. I thought I was present in those situations, and I think I'm not. So I'm going to up my game here.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. And the genius of that, as you have told us many times, is that without the self-hate, without the beatings, I actually do have an opportunity to learn and to see how life works and to pay attention to all that.
Yes. And to enjoy it, right? To have fun with it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. As Catherine and Jen pointed out, helpfully, as soon as that conversation is not part of what that conversation, that negative conversation in the head is not a part of what we're doing, then everything just becomes fascinating. So I was reading something today, as a matter of fact, and the reference was to the time when Jesus said, you must become as little children, or whatever form of that people recognize. But that's what awareness practice is. That's what spiritual practice is becoming little children. And what does that mean? What that means is we are moving through all of the layers of ego and conditioning and karma and self-hatred that happened to us between that innocence and presence of small child to where we are as conditioned suffering adults. And that's what we get a chance to practice without those voices. Right? We can just be here the way we were as little children, but with all of the kind of the information and the faculties, you know, we have a lot. There's an expression in our practice that insight. I think this is it. Insight requires experience. Something along those lines. And that's what we have. We have a world of experience that we can bring to our lives when we combine that with the innocence of a small child of presence. It's a pretty dynamite combination.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And that's why we practice, huh?
And that's why we practice. And we're lucky that we do.
Yes, we are very lucky. Yes. Yes.
All right. I bet you have some information for us.
I do have some announcements. Are you ready?
All right. I'm ready. Thank you.
Okay, I can tell. A new group coaching opportunity will be starting up in September. Mornings with the Mentor, beginning September 28th. These weekly group sessions offer support and accountability for your recording and listening practice commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And as we heard from Catherine and Jen, Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up weekly to practice being present. And a new quarter begins October 15th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots and lots of good stuff, huh?
Yes. And here's another one. Join you, Sherry, for a fun and interactive workshop debunking the extremely popular and age-old myth of too busy, not enough time. This workshop will be held Saturday, October 22nd at the beautiful Namaste Retreat Center in Felton, California in the San Francisco Bay Area. And all proceeds and donations will benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes, near and dear to our hearts. Boy, that's coming up right away too, isn't it?
Yes, and coming up before
that. Is that not on your list? Yeah, okay, good. Before that.
Accept the Empty Teacup Challenge and catch conditioning in the act of bamboozling. The challenge runs now until the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 15th. Record how many bamboozles you're spotting on the Teacup Challenge page at the Living Compassion website.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just love that. Are you enjoying that, Michael?
Yes. Yes, it's fun.
Yeah, get those reminders every Monday and then record those little beauties and watch for those bamboozles. It's kind of a Zen awareness practice version of finding Pokemon.
Yeah. Yes.
And you don't have to walk around with your phone in front of your face all day long. So it's very good. I'm sure it's as entertaining, or I hope it's as entertaining, and free of charge, and helps you be more present rather than less present. So it's got a lot going for it.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And if you are precepted, stay on after the bridge walk for the two-day Precepts Renewal Retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other, yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, go to livingcompassion.org.
Yeah, and Michael, the one thing that I don't know if we say this, but that it would be really helpful to all of us if people who are planning to come to the bridge walk would register. It's one of those funny things. I mean, I know it's hard to know way ahead of time what we're going to do and that sort of thing. But as we plan these events, if we could get some idea of how many people are going to be there on that day, it would be really helpful to us.
Yeah, it helps everybody. I'm sure there's a lot of organization that happens as a result of those members, and so it really benefits.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great kindness. It's kind of like RSVPing for a party, you know. there's the poor host wondering, is anybody going to show up? No, yeah, 1,000 people. What are we looking at here?
Exactly. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes really helps everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sherry, I think we are ready here.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I think this is me. My name is Barbara, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Hi, Barbara. How are you doing?
I think I'm okay. It was my goal to just get past making this call and getting all the way through the other side of it, actual conversation part.
you're looking to get through that too. Yeah, I thought you just meant
looking,
just dialing,
just
pressing, star six and getting on or one or whatever the heck you had to do and getting through the heart pounding, throat closing, all of that.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for. And
good.
And the resistance over the, I called once before and it was two years ago, and it was great when I did it, and I felt really it felt like a crossing some boundary, and then all the conditioning came up again as if it had never happened the first time.
And did I get to talk to you 2 years ago, or did you just make the call and that was that?
Oh, no, I talked to you. It was two and a half years ago, maybe. Yeah, so.
All right, Barbara.
Yeah, so this is my second call.
Unless this goes really badly tonight, let's not wait 2.5 years to talk again, okay?
Okay, I'd really like that. I'd really like that.
All right, good, yeah. Me too. All right, what's going on?
Well, I'm just... this whole process around the call feels like just what I'm looking at in a bigger way, just stepping up to this place where I'm really afraid and not knowing what's going to happen. And so I feel like almost paralyzed around it. And I have felt this way around the call. Like I've even fallen asleep before, when it's time to call in. And I mean, it's just been amazing. And then there's an equal, passionate desire to push through, to show up, I guess.
Yes, yes. And you've been around long enough to know the one is ego and the other is your heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I can see that, and I mean, actually, there was the peace quote I think yesterday about living at this edge, and I can see in my whole life the same process. I mean, from when I was a child, really wanting to say something in class and feeling like I had something to contribute, and not being able to speak, it feels like that old and that familiar, and and I just. I feel like it's stunting my life.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
We kid at that point and say, you can trust your feelings, right? it really is doing that. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so, I don't even know what the word is for to describe what I'm going to say. But here we are. We don't know anything about any of this, but we've landed here. We're alive. We know we're going to die. We know this is it. We know that we're not going to get another chance. And still, we are paralyzed by fear to do what we are here with an opportunity to do, which is to live.
Yes.
Something's gonna happen. Something could go wrong. What will people say? What if this? What if that? What if... It's crazy, isn't it?
It's so crazy because I can't even imagine what could be so horrible, when I think about it. And I know it's conditioning, so that makes it... And then the other, the voices come in and tell me, well, there's nothing to be afraid of, you idiot, just do it. And then, so it's just...
And then you try to do it.
On top of... Right.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah. Well, so and that is so important to see. I mean, it doesn't feel like a big, opening, but it is. Because what you're seeing is the same person, the same voice, it's not... really a person, but it sounds like a person, the same voice tells you not to do it because something hideous is going to happen, and then humiliates you for listening to what it just told you.
Oh, yeah.
It's really important to see.
Yeah. And I've also noticed that it says, sometimes, it's okay, honey, you don't have to do it.
The so creepy pseudo compassion.
Yes, and then I don't, and then I feel a little bit of relief, you know, right there in, for 2 seconds, and then I'm back to, you know. So it's just, it's really interesting.
Yeah. So what do you want to do, Barbara?
What do I want to do? I just want to be, I don't know how to say it. I just want to, I want to live from my heart. I want to get out of this. I want to get out of the way. I want to move forward. I want to be creative. I don't want to be afraid. It's, I'm judging what I'm saying right now.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Okay.
That same system is judging what you're saying, right?
I know.
You're hearing judgmental voices in your head, right? And that, which is good, because you're seeing, once again, how those voices control you.
I'm seeing it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And,
what should I be saying? What should I, what's the right thing to say? Or what, It's, and that's just been ruling my, me for decades.
Yep. You know what the right thing to say is? What you're saying.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
Always. Yep. That's just a little philosophical thing I threw in there. Okay. So a couple of weeks ago, I talked with a gal. We were getting ready to go to Pennsylvania on retreat, and she called in and was wanting to go to the retreat, I think planning to go to the retreat, and hearing voices that the airplane was going to, if she did this, the plane was going to blow up, right? And it was all going to be her fault. And, I mean, that kind of stuff, especially in the middle of the night. And I bet there aren't too many people who don't know that experience with some kind of content, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So, of course, she came to the retreat, and the plane didn't blow up, and she had a fabulous time. And what she proved to herself in a really concrete way is what we say all the time and what we know, but we get bamboozled into believing anyway, those voices don't tell the truth. Right? Mm-hmm. Those voices are lying. They don't know the future. Mm-hmm. They don't know what's going to happen. All they know is how to scare young children. And that's, of course, who they're talking to emotionally. We're just children when we listen to those voices. And we get so scared.
Yeah.
So let's come up with something for you to do.
Okay.
Are you in a position where you could come on retreat with us? Could you come at New Year's
right
for the
now.
New Year's retreat?
Maybe.
Okay. And November, December, 3 months. That'd be 3 months out. You might be able to arrange your life.
Yeah, I've been to the New Year's retreat before. And I could do it again. I remember, and I did it then, and I could do it again. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is that a good challenge, or do you need another one that's something you haven't done?
Well, I can tell you something that I'm having trouble with, but I don't want to be, too long in the call, but I've been...
That's okay.
We're all relating.
We're all relating, Barbara. Okay. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
I'm stuck to 5 minutes.
Michael says that for me, not for you people. Okay? He's trying to encourage me to remember we only have so much time. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay. I appreciate that. Well, I have recorded and listened before, and then I had the experience of, that same voice when I was, trying to talk to the mentor, that same voice that said to me kind of about the call, like, you don't have to do this, honey, that kind of sweet, pseudo, kind, compassionate.
Yeah.
That was what showed up as the mentor. And when that happened, that just stopped me I've had good experiences recording and listening but then that happened and now it's been a really long time since I've recorded and listened.
You're right. This is the one to tackle because that's the one that makes all the difference for people and that's where the resistance really comes out big, bad, and hard, doesn't it? So, all right, good. So how about instead of coming to a New Year's retreat, although I'll still want you to come to the New Year's retreat just because it's fun to come to the New Year's retreat, but how about if you write to me and we have a program where it's a six-week class and we have recording and listening trainers who train people in this curriculum, and then they are dialed in and they have support for 6 weeks to deepen, really get solid and deepen their practice. And then if they want to continue, just like coaching, they can have somebody continue with them until the practice is so solid that that's where you're looking instead of to any of those other voices.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we do that?
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah. I know it's a variable practice. Yeah, I know.
Oh.
And I just, and so that's, you know, so then knowing it and then not doing it, that's all of these just get me more beat up ultimately.
Oh, absolutely. And again, we established it talks you out of doing it and then beats you up for not doing it. So what we want to do is stop that, right? So you get a practice going that you love so much. That there's no way you're going to be talked out of doing it. And that's what makes the difference. Yeah. All right. Well, then you write in information at Living Compassion or information is in, I don't know who those people are. But write to me and we'll get you set
up. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, Sherry.
I'm so glad you called. Talk to you soon.
You know, I'm really appreciating being, I'm just appreciating being able to acknowledge these things out loud.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's everything,
so
isn't it?
It is everything.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. That's the power of Sangha, the power of practicing together. Yep.
Yeah.
Because otherwise those voices get us. They get us, they get us alone and they isolate us. And then we're sunk. So, I'm right there with you. All right.
Okay, thank you so much.
Barbara.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And that was a fabulous conversation, Sherry. Just wonderful.
Good. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. I enjoyed it
really
but
inspiring.
I never know what anybody else's experience is, you know. So thank you.
Yeah, and as she said at the end there, it's just so great to be able to talk about all this stuff out loud and realize how normal it is and then we're free of it.
Yes, yes. And then we know we have support. We can reach out. And then eventually, to me, one of the very best things is we realize that we can be a support for others. And that's the best thing of all.
Yes, yes. Wonderful, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we will be back to talk to other callers.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. Come on, computer. Just try this again. There we go.
They're out there. We're here. Just that one little computer between us. Oh.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Amy in Washington, D.C.
Well, hello, Amy. How are you doing?
I am well. I am really doing well. I'm excited to have gotten through and can actually talk with you.
All right. What's going on?
Really just a lot of awareness lately. I've just trying to focus on kind of feelings of resistance. So, you know, really when I'm focusing on being aware and not reacting so much, coming up is just a desire to see it and kind of recognize the things that are, you know, flowing through my head or whatever's going on, and wanting to make like a good choice or making a good kind of the right decision, but feeling kind of this internal turmoil or resistance against that, and still kind of making a choice that's not what I really wanted, and then seeing kind of the downward spiral from that. And so just starting to recognize this internal kind of resistance inside of me.
Mm-hmm. And do you realize it's not you?
No.
Okay. So would it feel too personal or that sort of thing to give me an example of what you mean?
It comes up
something little.
Yeah, but all kinds of different situations. But, you know, just say I'm having a disagreement with somebody and noticing that I don't want to react and I don't want to say, you know, something mean or, you know, a petty, you know, kind of, you know, bring up a petty annoyance with them. And I want to hold it inside and not react to that situation and not say that. But even though I have that awareness saying I don't want to do that, then I still see myself doing it.
Uh-huh. Yes. And then once that happens, then that's what triggers all the voices of self-hate and that sort of thing.
Yes.
And does it feel like when, so you're in that situation, you're watching it happen, the energy is building in your body,
mm-hmm.
and are you aware of the conversation that's going on that's building to the snarky?
I do, you know, and I feel like that's where my practice is getting better, where I feel like I have more space there, you know, and I can kind of separate
mm-hmm.
myself. I realize mm-hmm. that's conditioning that's causing me to have to go there, you know. But I guess I'm kind of looking for that grounding or that practice that, you know, that I can physically do something to hold myself back from
in
that reacting space.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, of course, I suspect you know. How great it is that your practice is such that you recognize the space.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, for a long time, we don't. It's just a mm-hmm. knee-jerk, something happens, react, get beaten up, feel bad.
Right.
And so to practice awareness to the point that we realize, no, we don't have to react that quickly. There's a whole lot of space, and there's a whole lot going on in that space. And
mm-hmm.
that's the space in which we get to make the choice. So for me, the practice that's helpful is to have something that I'm training myself to attend to all the time, not just at a time when I'm reacting, when I'm conditioned to be reactive, but all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of practice that assists me in staying present.
Mm-hmm.
So training attention not to go to conditioned mind at all, but
mm-hmm.
training attention to stay here where I am in the present. And
right.
I do a lot of different things. So people know, because I tell people, I'll work with I choose peace, or I choose peace and joy,
mm-hmm.
or I choose presence.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm on a St. Francis kick. And so I do his Make Me an Instrument of Thy Peace.
Yes.
And all of those things are simply to train the attention to be here instead of wandering off into any conversation in
right.
conditioned mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really good. I'm going to do some recording on that tonight, because I definitely, you know, find that, you know, through recording and listening, that it's very, very helpful as well. But I feel like every day there's some new, and I guess it's part of the practice, but there's something new. I'm like,
yes.
I don't have a recording on that one yet, you know.
Yes.
You know, so, but
and
over time, it's like you start to kind of build this, this catalog of practice. So, you know, there's a lot of things that come up that I don't get triggered by, and I do have much better awareness and can have a bigger space there. But then there's those new things that come up that I don't have that practice with, and kind of make me an instrument, and having something that can be a kind of a constant to use throughout is a good idea.
Yeah, and there's I don't know if you're familiar with this practice, but it's one of my favorites. Where you decide what it is, you know, yes, thank you, I love you, whatever it is that you're working on currently, and you record that, and then you just leave a little couple of 3-second gap,
mm-hmm.
and you record it again, and then leave a little gap and record it again, and do that for, you know, as long as you have patience to do it,
mm-hmm.
and then when you're going around, you'll be listening to that, and you'll hear your voice say it, and you'll take that in, and then in your mind or out loud, if there's nobody around and you can do it, you say it,
mm-hmm.
and then you hear it, and then you say it, and you hear it, and you say it. And it's the most wonderful way to train ourselves,
mm-hmm.
to be here. And pretty soon, attention is looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
So when something happens like that being triggered, something like that happens, and attention, instead of going to conditioned mind to get in a conversation about that,
mm-hmm.
is actually trained to look for your mantra.
Right. Oh, that's lovely. Mm-hmm.
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 It's really fun.
Mm-hmm. That is very, very helpful. But I also want to just thank you so much for just sharing, recording, and listening that practice with everyone, and with me in particular. It's really been a very helpful practice. I don't think I can ever listen to enough recordings. I definitely listen as often as I can, but it is something I've just, I don't know, since finding it probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, it's really been life-changing for me. So I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad to hear that. I've got a couple of things going, as you know, I'm sure it is the passion of my life, and I've got a couple things going now where there are really influential people and organizations that I think are on the brink of taking this on, and I'm so excited about it, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take, you know, lots and lots of people realizing how powerful it is, and then it's just going to spread. And of course, we're working with younger people, younger and younger and younger people. One gal, I don't know if you've heard of it, but is working with preschoolers, and
wow.
They're learning to process through recording and listening. Middle school kids, we've got a group of those who are, you know, giving testimonials that they're, you know, I feel like I've got the best friend I've always wanted. Their anxiety levels are down. Their grades are better, and so it just thrills me every time I hear somebody say, "You know, this has made such a difference in my life."
Well, it's amazing, because you don't think when you're going through, when you're in suffering, you don't think that you have anything wise in you. Like, I know I didn't.
Yeah,
I just. What?
Yes.
How could I ever help myself? What good guidance
yes.
do I ever have? But it is mind
right.
absolutely blows my mind when I go back and listen, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I really, if I would just
did that come out of my mouth?
You know?
Yeah. Did I say that?
Yes.
Oh my gosh! And then of course, because we're doing awareness practice, we get it. Actually, I didn't. But that wisdom, love, and compassion is what's animating this human being, and I can have access to that all the time. And that's awe-inspiring, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much.
So joyful.
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. Makes me so happy. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Amy. And there's another fabulous conversation, Sherry.
I know.
That's great.
Love it. Yeah.
Yes, and that's
you got another one?
Yes.
Say it again, Michael.
Yes. I was just going to say that it's fabulous to hear that the word is getting out about recording and listening.
Yes.
And
yeah.
That you're
talking to
folks.
I predicted 20 years. You know, in 20 years, this is going to be such a staple of spiritual practices and psychotherapy, counseling, coaching, all of those kinds of. It's just going to be a given that this is how it's done. And I thought, well, doggone, I really, you know, I might miss it. I might, I might not be around for that. But I think it's going to happen a lot faster. So I'm excited. I plan
That's
to stay
great.
Around to watch it happen. Yep.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Ter from New York.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right.
Just all right?
Yeah,
what's
just
going
all right.
On?
Now I almost hang up, but I'm glad I didn't. Wow. So I thought I would follow up on the guidance from the retreat.
Mm-hmm. Was it kind of a rough re-entry?
Rough re-entry, yes, it was.
A little backlash, as we say?
Yeah, actually, I've never had a backlash like after this one. I think this was my fourth retreat. And I was really glad or lucky or blessed that right for the next day I took another day off and I had a reflective listening buddies call in the morning and a coaching call in the evening. That was quite a lifesaver.
Mm. Uh-huh. Well, you can say lucky and blessed and all of those kinds of things, which are true. But let's also give some credit to making wise decisions for yourself in your life, right?
Yes.
To set yourself up to be supported like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So you want to tell me a little about what's going on?
Yeah. So what's going on? So one thing was going on. So I left the retreat very excited about the intention of, I think someone else said today on this show, to live from the heart and without fear. And yeah, and part of that was that there was quite a resolve to leave the job that I've been in for like over 8 years now, and to mainly to kind of just make myself available to, I don't know, whatever else might be there. And and there was really a lightness of, well, actually I don't know what else I want to do, but just kind of that felt really good, like the openness of many possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, well, and then then the conversation started to creep back in.
Then the voices start shrieking.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't say it like that. They come more as the dragon of fear and doubt, and more so doubt. So I've talked about through some of those with a mentor, but I'm still often not sure if it's really the mentor, and or don't trust myself so much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And till when you look at it, like, I mean, I'm not suggesting this is anything other than something that I'm asking you. and so I'll say it about me, and then, you know, you can see what of it applies to you. But there's a place in me that, big place, as a matter of fact, that when that kind of reaction comes up, I know I have to go against it just because it's there. Do you know what I mean? So if there's something that happens and I really, really, really don't want to do it, I have to do it because I really, really don't want to. It almost has nothing to do with what it is.
Mm.
You know, the content of it, as we like to talk about it, at that point doesn't matter. It's that there's so much resistance to it, and I don't want to feed that resistance.
Yes, I think I know what you mean, but I'm not sure how much it applies here, because it's kind of like, maybe it's that, and that's like actually like the major doubt conversation that is coming in, is if like, because I feel like I don't know now how to say it. Kind of the doubt that it's spreading is if leaving the job wouldn't be giving in to resistance against the job, and it's like saying, well,
if I may.
Yes.
If you were the right person, if you were coming from center, then you would be able to be in that job and be fine.
Yes, that's one of the things.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
And so, so it's like, yeah. With my little example, I would wish that resistance wouldn't be so big, so that I wouldn't have to do what it's telling me not to do.
Right? I didn't follow that one.
No, that's okay. It doesn't matter. it's off there in left field somewhere anyway. So the thing about it is, though, you're in the job.
Mm-hmm.
What the question is, can you be all right not in the job? Not can you be all right in the job?
Like, yeah, can I be all right anywhere? The voices also say, like, kind of using like the practice thing, like, our practice says you should put yourself in situations or whatever where your buttons get pushed and stuff, but then, like, what, I don't know now if it's a mentor, but one thing he said, you don't want to learn how to swim by jumping in a storm in the ocean with stones in your pocket, kind of like that.
Oh, that mentor. What an image. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the other thing now? And then something else that just came up now was basically with us being all right, not in the job, kind of, because the conditioning says, okay, giving that up is basically capitulating in front of the voices who make my life at that job, hell, to say drastically. It's not always bad. I mean, I know it's the voices who make it hell, because there are instances now and then when I enjoy myself there, when I manage to not be in a conversation. But anyway, kind of like that would be admitting to leave that job and say, well, I'd rather do a job where I don't have so much pressure and stress and don't make my life hard. That would be like admitting failure or something. And
yes.
What
and so it's
up,
that same process, that same process we were talking about earlier, right? So the voice says, oh, this is awful. It's so stressful. It's so miserable. Your life stinks. What you hate this. And then you say, you know, you're right. It really is miserable. I'm going to leave. You can't leave. That would just be giving in to, right? And you, okay, I'll stay. Oh, but you hate this job. It's awful. It's so stressful. It's miserable. It's not what you want to do. Why don't you quit and live from your heart? You're right. I'm going to quit. You can't quit. That would just be admitting defeat, right? And it's just back and forth, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's the question that I think you're looking at. At least that's what I understood from you, is can you live from your heart without fear? That's what you want to explore, not can I be in a high-pressure, really stressful job that I only enjoy sometimes? That's not the question, because you've actually proved that you can do that. Can you live from your heart without fear? That's what you haven't proved.
Yeah, I really like that. That,
you can see why those voices don't like to talk to me, huh?
I don't know if I can run one more doubt by you, or if this was my time. I don't know.
We might as well, because I think we're so close to the end. We might as well. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is that they are saying like, oh, but you're like, so I've been there so long, and I really like or love my bosses. They're like friends. We've been there. I mean, I'm the oldest, by far the most senior employee there, and like cornerstone of the company and stuff. And we have like way too much to do always, which is why I always feel so stressed out. And so the voices are saying that would be really unkind of me to them to bail out on them like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
now let me ask you this, Till.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If they decided that it would serve them to sell that company or to go out of business, do you think that they would say, but wait a minute, no, we can't do that because that would really be hard on Till?
I don't know. Maybe they might.
yeah, maybe, but probably not, right? So, so it would be a great opportunity for a heartfelt conversation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, would they want you to go? No, I'm sure not. Would it be hard for them? Absolutely. But what you want to find out is, can you live from your heart without fear? Not can you be loyal?
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder. Yes, that's what I want to find out. Right.
Yeah. If you forget, send me a note and I'll send a note back to remind you. Okay.
I think I make a poster.
There you go. There you go. That'll do it. All right. Thank you, Till.
Okay.
Take good care of yourself, huh?
Yes. Thank you very much.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Michael. Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Till. And Sherry, I think we have our homework there from your conversation with Till.
Oh, what was it?
How can we live from our hearts without fear?
Yeah. That's kind of a, if we were going to have a little compass for ourselves, that would be a good thing to be watching that needle on, wouldn't it? Am I living from my heart without fear? Yeah. If not, then okay. What do I need to work on? What do I need to do? What do I need to not do? What do I need to let go? What do I need to add on? So that that's what I'm doing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you
soon. Thank you.
It was great. I'll talk
mm-hmm.
to you next week.
Loved it. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.